You're entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
What is the future of cybersecurity talent, not just here in the United States, but globally? And specifically, what is the future of cybersecurity talent for managed service providers, MSPs, who so desperately need more tech talent, but not just tech talent, they need talent that understands security, cybersecurity. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. And who better to provide context, who has someone who's been around in the IT channel, not just the MSP channel, but the MSP security channel, very, very unique area of specialty there, but by its own right, our friend Brian Stoner from Stellar Cyber. Brian, welcome back to the program.
Wow, thank you so much for that gracious welcome.
Did I overdo it? Was it too much?
That was great.
No, you've done... I mean, you have a really stellar, no pun intended. You've got a really fantastic resume and amount of, you know, many years of experience in working in the channel, working with MSPs, but also, you know, staying with a lot of that security focus. We've kind of already talked about this in many previous episodes, both with you and otherwise, about the cybersecurity talent shortage. I don't think we overplay that enough, but what's your perspective on, you know, do you still think we're in a cybersecurity talent shortage gap right now or drought?
Well, I think it's pretty well documented by just about everybody that there's a talent shortage right now. I think the real shame is that there's not enough companies that are trying to help solve that challenge. Everybody talks about it in their marketing materials to try to sell their technology, but they're really not doing much to help solve the problem. So I'm really proud that Stellar Cyber kind of stepped up and is really investing in helping to not only, you know, provide the technology, but to help develop that next generation of cybersecurity experts.
Yeah, I recall many conversations going back many years before this became a topic of considerable importance. Just MSPs, you know, kind of voicing their concerns of, hey, look, it's really difficult to find people who not technical people so much as finding people who understand the MSP business model, which is really unique. And I think that seems to have been even more amplified when you apply that to the cybersecurity discipline.
I think most of the cybersecurity providers didn't really have a focus in the MSSP space for a long time. They're just so focused on the enterprise, or they were focused on kind of, you know, consumer, right? It was the old barbell approach. And I think in the last couple of years, not only have I seen it in the market itself, where we're starting to see more managed service providers and adding security to their portfolio, but even in the investment community, I'm starting to see in our last round of funding, the investors were a lot more interested in our run rate revenue strategy versus our, you know, TCV sales strategy, right? So I think it's not only now, you know, kind of mainstream, but it's also supported by the investment community, which I hope helps.
Yeah, no doubt that there's money coming behind this. It leads us to our first kind of topic of the day, which is the announcement regarding Boise State. And just to catch everybody up, you guys over at Stellar Cyber started working with the Boise State crew, which we're going to get a little bit of a backdrop of that here momentarily. And then, you know, you approached us and then we kind of, you know, joined in. And so we're now, which by the way, we're really thrilled about. And I think it's been extraordinarily well received by the MSP channel and community that this is happening. Could you give us a short background of your relationship with Boise State? How did that all get started? Maybe.
It actually started at a virtual conference where I met Ed Vasco, who runs the program over at Boise State. And it all started off, and this is something maybe the audience could learn from. I do networking calls with people who are kind of outside of the business and our customer community, just to, you know, kind of have a diverse network, right? And so I just scheduled a 20-minute networking call with Ed. And so I shared a little bit about what I do, and he shared a little bit about what he does. And we immediately saw, you know, an opportunity. And so
now, did you know him? You didn't know him before.
No, I did not know him.
Okay. And You didn't know what he did, or?
No, I just knew that he worked for Boise State at the time.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So as we were talking, you know, he was sharing his perspective, because Ed actually built and sold to MSSP businesses. So he was, you know, kind of in a non-compete after his last gig, right? And somebody at Boise State approached him and said, hey, you know, would you like to help us, you know, build up the program? And, you know, he's got some lofty goals. He's trying to grow the program by about 10x in the next year or two. So, you know, very aggressive goals. But he has a really unique, you know, experience working with students coming out of these different cyber programs, having had his own business. And what I think was really interesting is that over the years, he had about a 50% success rate with students that would come out of these cyber programs, you know, lasting in the SOC, you know, for more than 6 months. So when they asked him to take over the program, you know, one of the things that he really wanted to do was to make sure that he could get real world experience to the students, not just theoretical, you know, book experience. Right.
So just to recap, so you reach out to Ed from Boise State. You don't know about his background. You happen to, I mean, what a stroke of luck that you happen to find a guy that not only responds to you, but he's also got MSSP experience. I mean, that's just like you hit the trifecta there.
Yeah, I think some things are meant to be.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right. So I mean, you know, there's a lot of cool stuff that Ed and Boise State are doing. I will get to that a little bit later on in the program. Could you maybe talk about the, because this has come up in multiple conversations, that if I could call it the problem with the cybersecurity talent today. And when I say problem, it's not a problem, but it's an area that we have to work on. It's not just experience, is it? It's also it's practical knowledge of what an MSP or MSSP actually does. Could you elaborate maybe a little bit more on that?
Yeah, I think in general, not a lot of, and I'm going to trace this all the way back to high school, right? Because my son is graduating from high school this year. And let me just say, when kids go into high school now, it's almost like when we went into college, where everybody's like, okay, you need to pick their career that you want to work toward, right? And so in high school, they all say, well, you know, if you want to, you know, get into computers, you got to be in computer science or computer programming, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, probably 80% of the kids that graduate from high school with that think they're going to be video game designers, right?
Is that because that's what they want to do, or that's where the jobs are?
That's because that's what they want to do because they play lots of video games. Let me just say, my son plays a lot of video games.
Don't we all?
Anyway, so here's the piece, right? So they don't learn about cybersecurity there. Then they get into a university program where they're still kind of focused on gaming or programming, or, you know, nobody's really explained cybersecurity to them. And if they're lucky, maybe they get a, you know, a section in a class on cybersecurity or something. They don't really know kind of what it is, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, if we're not picking up the talent from colleges, right, where are we getting it from? I mean, a lot of the people that I know in cybersecurity started off in business or marketing, or, you know, and they just kind of stumbled into cybersecurity. It wasn't really, you know, kind of a focus for them until they got their first job in it and maybe liked it or had an affinity for it. You know, I don't think people know that there are these MSP businesses that you can have a really great career in.
So this is a case of mass blindness or someone wasn't looking, and a whole IT curriculum exists in the major 2 and 4 year colleges, and kids graduate from high school, they go into these, and they're doing everything except for cybersecurity, which is the number one critical existential perhaps issue of our day. Did I get that right?
Absolutely. I think that is clearly the challenge that we've built for ourselves.
Okay. So I accept what you're saying. I think most people listening would accept that. Do you have an issue? Because I've heard this is an issue from MSPs, MSP business owners and people who hire in HR, who say that the expectations of quote unquote cybersecurity graduates is not in alignment with the MSP, typically when it comes to salary expectations and the lack of experience. Would you care to maybe elaborate on that as an issue? Is it an issue?
Well, clearly it's an issue if you're, you know, if your partners are telling you it's an issue. So I'm not going to, you know, contradict that at all. But I think, you know, what happens is you'll have a business owner who will take a chance on a younger guy. And sometimes they wind up being the rock star on the team. And sometimes it's just not a fit, you know, and they wind up, you know, parting. And sometimes that takes up a lot of the time that they could have spent developing somebody that would have lasted longer, right? So how do you look for the type of person with the type of skills and the, you know, I guess I want to say in a smaller MSP, right, you have to be a jack of all trades, right? You can't feel like you're just going to come in and do this one specialist thing, because you're going to be asked to do hundreds of different things with dozens of different vendors that you've probably never heard of before. And the funny part is a lot of these kids can just use YouTube to look up how to fix something, which we never had YouTube, right? We had to go get trained on stuff, you know, but I think there's different profiles of personality that fit within the MSP partners that, you know, feel like they're servicing the customer, that they'll go the extra mile when they need to. And so those values need to be in alignment with the owner of the business, because really that's, you know, that's critical to having a right fit, I think.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. And look, that we are talking about a radically different environment where 15 years ago, let's say the MSPs who were doing firewall management, right? They would have Cisco, WatchGuard, Fortinet. They'd you know, have all the typical vendors, and they would know that. And I would call that managed security, or at least managing a security device. But we're in a very different time today. And so maybe talk about the, you know, back to Boise State, the kind of the unique thing and how you approached Ed was what you've gotten Ed to do with that creation of that SOC over there. Maybe just talk about what that involves.
Yeah. So I'm going to give full credit to Ed on that one, because he built a business plan and went to the state of Idaho and got a grant to build the SOC. Okay. And he had one other brilliant idea, which was, let's use it to support underserved communities that can't afford MSP services.
Interesting. Okay?
So now not only do the students get experience with actual environments, but they're also supporting the community and providing services to communities that typically couldn't even afford MSP services from many of your partners.
So this is not just giving practical experience, like giving students just, you know, access to IT help desk positions. This is like practical help desk for cybersecurity, but it's also delivering it as a service, it sounds like. He's actually delivering it to communities in Idaho.
Yeah, the students are actually delivering cybersecurity services, leveraging the Stellar Cyber Open XDR platform to all these communities, right? So the students can get extra credit toward their degree for getting certified in the Stellar Cyber platform. And then they get that practical experience in the SOC for 6 months. And now when they go out, they know what they're getting into. They know the career path. They know the opportunity, right? And I think what is so important about what Ed created is that this generation of kids that are in college right now need to feel like they're involved in a larger mission than just, you know, corporate wealth and greed and all that stuff. I think they want to feel like they're part of something bigger, and protecting these communities and then learning that craft and then going on to protect bigger customers, I think is a really important mission that kind of adds to their experience in the SOC to feel like they're, you know, kind of working for the greater good.
Well, I think it is the greater. I think it's not only the greater good, but it's something that we need more of this help, and people need to be trained on this, because it's if it's not existential, it's certainly going to be a critical issue. I mean, like, we're already seeing the cyber attacks coming from Russia, right, from this whole Ukraine fallout. So it's not like we're unaware of it. It's not like we're not prepared for and waiting with bated breath for the next shoe to drop in some sort of cyber, you know, onslaught. We just need more people. And I love this. I love what Ed and Boise State have done with this. This is, and the fact that Ed has MSSP experience to boot is, like, you know, awesome.
Yeah, they couldn't have picked a better leader for that program. I got to tell you, he's a visionary. He's a great guy.
So one of the things that we're really excited about is taking those graduates who are using Stellar Cyber technology, right? They actually get their hands on it. They can work with it. They can see it in a live environment, right? This is not like a demo, right? This is live, yep. Live SOC kind of environment. And then have those candidates with that experience, with that service experience and with the technology experience, which you guys have contributed to, they come out with some really good months of training that make them a lot better than someone who just, you know, read a book or saw something online and decided to go for it.
Yeah. And I think the really critical part about this is that there aren't a lot of platforms that would have fit into that scenario like Stellar Cyber does, because our platform is completely open. So if you're providing this free service to these smaller communities that don't have a lot of money, you can't ask them to buy a new endpoint and then buy a new firewall just to get the service.
Right. Right?
Have to be able to use what they have and get value from it. And I think not only do they get that experience, you know, deploying and you know, using the technology, but they also learn, in your example, you know, if somebody like Russia is trying to brute force their way into the water treatment plant, right, to try to do something, they'll start to learn, you know, what does that attacker do as they're staging things? What do they do as they do their initial attack? Are there tactics that they use off to the side to, you know, keep you busy with ransomware while they're really, you know, doing something far worse? And so they get experience with these multi-stage attacks, even at these, you know, smaller municipalities, because Russia doesn't care who they target. And they just try to, you know, instrument their, you know, tactics wherever they can.
And we absolutely know that it's the municipalities, it's the places that don't have a lot of means to protect themselves that are being attacked, because they have just as equally desirable data to extort, you know, from those city governments, state agencies. Yeah, I think it's incredibly critical. And I can't even think of a, you know, I don't know. It's been a while since I was in college, but I don't even remember in IT classes. I probably took a few where you got anything close to this type of a live environment in an IT setting like that. Even in a help desk, you wouldn't see this type of practical is not the right word. What do you call it? Real world cyber attack, you know, battlefield. You're witnessing.
Yeah, and it's even different than like red team or purple team, you know, where you're, you know, pen testing in an environment. You know, until you see something kind of coming at you out of nowhere, it's you know, it's kind of like playing baseball for the first time if you've never, you know, caught a ball. You know, until it comes flying at you, you're not quite sure what to do, right? So I think in that baseball analogy, this really gives the students that practical experience to know how to handle a lot of different scenarios.
And Brian, it's got to be, I thought that this was really a huge benefit to the MSP and to you guys as well. But the MSP getting that candidate, that cyber graduate coming to them, wanting to work in an MSP environment, they not only have the experience, but they have the technology experience. They're going to come with some practical real world time in front of your technology. That, I mean, like any other tech, but this is different. This is not like just, you know, how to stand up an Azure, you know, instance, right? Or anything like that. We're talking, there's something really practical about your technology that will be of benefit to the MSP with that candidate.
No, absolutely. And there's really a couple of key concepts, well, actually maybe three key concepts that they learn from our platform. The first is, you know, we created our own kill chain. And unless you're normalizing the data and doing a lot of the work that we do up front as we're ingesting the data, it would be really hard to do, right? So not only do we align to the MITRE ATT&CK framework and the Lockheed Martin kill chain, which they probably learn about in their classes, but we also have XDR detections that kind of fill the gaps in between. And so they can see in that loop exactly what's happening. Now, the second piece to that is when the alert happens, they have everything at their fingertips. They don't have to go looking for it. And then they can either take a manual action, which is really easy through the automation on our platform, or they can create a playbook and take an automated action every time. So, and on top of that, we've actually, for the MSP, right, we look across all of your customers and we create incidents. And so based on the severity of the incident, we rank all of them for the analysts. So now, where it used to take like 2 weeks to recreate an incident with a level 2 SOC analyst, we do that automatically with the platform. So the students get to see these things happening in real time, and they're ranked and categorized so they know which ones to focus on first. So it really, between the talent and the technology, can really help an MSP become an MSSP, you know, very easily. But also, they can upskill their current, you know, staff too. It's not just the people that you hire from the program, but your, you know, partners that have these analysts can get advanced education from the Boise program. It's not just analyst courses. They have a whole machine learning curriculum in their graduate school as well. So there's a lot more to it.
I mean, back in the day, we used to call that event correlation, and it was so critical what you're talking about. And it was only in the large enterprise service providers that could actually afford to do it, because it required back then bodies, human bodies, and you guys figuring out how to use machine learning AI to do that leads me to my next question, which is this has got to be, I don't want to get into the, should you outsource to an MSSP, outsource to a SOC as a service partner, because I understand that there's a value to that for some use cases. Yeah. But it seems to me, correct me if I'm wrong, that what you are doing, what you have done and continue to do, really makes it able for the average MSP to take existing known MSP best practices, apply stellar cyber technology, machine learning, AI, and really extend that without having to become radically upended from cost, and they certainly don't have to radically, you know, develop what I would characterize as, you know, like a full blown SOC. You get where I'm going there?
Yeah, no, I think in general, right, the industry and most marketing programs will tell you that if you want to provide managed security services, you have to have a SOC, right? I have a different opinion on that whole topic, and I think I've shared this before.
I think you
But have. What I will say is you're already providing security services. If you're managing firewalls and you're managing endpoint, right, you just don't have the technology that connects them and shows you the, you know, blind spots between them, right? And so with the Stellar Cyber platform, for under, you know, $2 a month per user, you can actually provide this service and add your services on top of it and make 50 to 75% margins, right? That's democratizing security as well, right? Because before, you used to have a SIM and a SOAR and, you know, network detection tools and all these other things,
and
right?
And people
to set them up and run them, yeah. Right? I have multiple partners that will tell you they can support three times as many customers with our platform as they could with their old SIM.
Yeah. So, Brian, that seems to me, for those who are maybe, you know, they've lived most of their life in the professional SMB space, and maybe you're not aware of the SIM, SOC, enterprise, you know, environment. It was really costly. Like, I mean, it was really costly. It was really ancient by today's standards. It was really manual. And it wasn't pretty. And you guys have really upended in a good way, I think, and brought that technology and that capability really downstream. I mean, made it, I mean, affordable and accessible to even the smallest of MSPs and customers.
Oh, 60% of the partners we brought on last quarter were MSPs that are building these services with us today.
Are they at the SMB level, or can you tell where they're at?
Yeah, below 5 users is most of their accounts.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, 15 years ago, that would have been price inaccessible to get into a SIM for that type of a user.
Yeah, no, I mean, my largest partner has over 700 tenants, and 90% of those are below 20 users.
Do you feel that every graduate that comes out of Boise State and potentially future colleges brings more attention to not just the Stellar Cyber, you know, kind of methodology? I don't want to call it methodology because it's the same methodology. You just use technology and wit to make it more available. But it's got to have a force multiplying effect of every graduate's getting out there saying, hey, look, I'm coming to the table with experience, and I can put this technology into use right now. That'd be valuable.
No, I absolutely, that is huge, right? Especially because I have over 100 partners, you know, globally that always need people. And we're adding more and more every quarter, right? So Boise State is not, you know, they're the first, but they're not going to be the only, right? So we're actively talking with other universities and programs. And again, it's not just to get their candidates, but here's another thing to really think about that's been kind of a limiting, you know, process for a lot of us, is that you had to have a physical SOC, like a room with a bunch of big TVs in the front. Everybody had to go there. Today, SOCs can be distributed, right?
Yeah.
Our platform SaaS, you can sit anywhere and do it, right? And that's the other thing I want the listeners to think about is, you know, Boise State doesn't just teach people in Boise, Idaho.
Right.
They're teaching people all over the world virtually right now, these programs. And even the people that work in the SOC, some of them are virtual too, right? So you could tap into this virtual talent pool without having, you know, if you're in rural Ohio or you're in, you know, Tulsa, Oklahoma, and you need people, they might not be down the street, right? But, you know, if you can tap into an international talent pool that has these skills, then you can hire people from anywhere. And also think about it now, if I've got somebody in Europe or, you know, Asia, who's, they can cover the off hours, you know, Now you can really provide a 24/7 service without having to have a minimum of 9 guys, right? So, you know, and again, these other third parties, they don't have the relationship that you've built with your customers.
Yes.
They don't have the same level of care that you have for your customers. And so if you can at all retain that and continue that relationship and build your business, I think that's an important thing as well. I think that's probably more important than the technology.
I couldn't agree more, Brian. We're out of time, unfortunately, but something tells me we are going to be talking about this topic before the end of this year, because I am certain that we're going to have some fantastic positive news coming out of this relationship that you guys have spearheaded. Really fantastic job, and congratulations for your luck or your foresight of reaching out and getting in touch with Ed and Boise State and making this thing all happen.
Well, and if anyone is interested in learning more about OpenXDR and they're going to be at RSA, please go to the OpenXDR Summit website and you can register. And we're going to have 2 days of people like Ed Vasco and our other customers and partners talking about, you know, how they built their MSSP business from scratch.
What, do you have that URL for people?
Yeah. OpenXDRSummit.org, I believe, is the URL. Let me double check it.
We can put it into the show notes. Yeah, we'll post it into the show notes.
Yeah, OpenXDRSummit.org. And all you have to do is register. It's free.
Excellent. Well, go to OpenXDRSummit.org, check it out, and participate. And Brian, thank you for coming on to MSP Zone. And like I said, I think we're going to be talking about this topic well into the future.
All right. Thank you so much, Charles.
All right. Until next time.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.